Good evening, friends. This is Carolyn Evers. Been away on vacation for a bit. This is the first live show that we've had for a while. And you know, I just love being with you. Tonight is going to be an interesting night, my friends, because I have Richard Presser here. And Richard Presser and I work with healing on the Metatron Minutes Soul Healing Conference Calls. And we're going to discuss tonight one of my favorite topics, something that has become extremely interesting to me, and that is how we communicate with the physical body. I always knew there was a connection between mind, body, and spirit. You know, it's something that we kind of talk about all the time. But in our work, we have found that communicating with the physical body is much more than we ever dreamed it would be. It seems that, yes, the physical body is very much connected to us as individuals. It's connected to what's going on within the body as it has consciousness. And since our mind has consciousness also, we can connect directly with the consciousness of our body. But in doing our work, we have found that this consciousness is aware of events around us, people around us, the thoughts of others. And it is quite fascinating also from the point of view that when we come into this lifetime, we come with a blueprint, and the physical body is aware of the physical, of the blueprint in ways that we are not consciously aware of it. So with that thought in mind, I would like to welcome Richard Presser.
Well, hello.
Oh, see, I get the 50-cent introduction and you've got one word.
It was two words.
Hello? Oh, well,
That's it. You're talking about the precision of the mail before we started, and there you go, two words.
So, Richard, I know you heard that those words that I said about the physical body and how we have a connection to it, and I would like for you to give our audience a little bit of a perspective as to how you come to this beautiful connection and your thoughts about it.
It's an interesting subject, and it's something I have to say that's, to add to what Carolyn was saying, kind of emerged from our work, you could say. And when I talk about our work, it's our work on the healing calls, the soul healing calls and the panel healing calls that we do. But also, it's been in the work that, you know, we have been doing, out of the public eye, if you will, the work that we have done in our own healing and so on. And it's been, I guess, just understanding what's going on in the body and perhaps powerfully just watching Carolyn work with it, and the sorts of questions that one is able to ask the body have truly amazed me. What's come forth in our work has been the understanding that not only can we communicate with the body, but indeed the body is aware of its environment to a far greater degree than we ever understood before. And so really the capabilities of the body have, I guess, unfolded as we've gone about our work. I could go on. Would you like me to go on?
I just would love for you, as representing the male community, to go on.
So, I guess the sorts of things that we've come to understand include the body's ability to not only understand our communication with it, but but the communication of other beings, you know, other people around us, for example, and so it's very sensitive, you could say, to its environment, not just the, in the sense, the physical environment, but the emotional context in which it operates. And so if you're in an environment where there is joy and love and peace, it's going to respond very positively to that. If people are speaking negatively, if there's a lot of it's a stressful situation, then the body will pick up on that stress and respond accordingly. So it's very sensitive to what's happening around us. And indeed, you know, the research, the scientific research is there, which says that cells can communicate at a distance. And so if one thinks about that, then you begin to realize that indeed bodies perhaps can talk to each other. And I don't mean when they get all, not necessarily just up when they're nice and close to each other, but indeed over distance, which is quite extraordinary when you start to think about it. And it really lifts the lid, I guess you could say, on our understanding of what the physical body is capable of and the intelligence that it carries.
Well, something that really piqued my interest was when people have asked about gaining weight, diet, for instance, and when they ask the body what foods to eat, it not only tells them what foods to eat, how much to exercise, but they do these things to lose weight. And I found that particularly fascinating.
It really is the way those things have come forth, as you say. You know, I recall one example where a woman was told how much exercise to undertake in terms that she would relate to, which was, you know, to walk for half an hour. Another was told to walk, that what would support her would be to walk 3 kilometres, and they were numbers which in each case were things that they could relate to, which I found quite fascinating.
And also, we had a situation where the woman really didn't exercise a lot, and she was told to eat smaller portions and how much walking to do, and worked it out into her schedule, and it was very easy for her to walk that amount. And so when we learn how to communicate with the body and hear these answers, it can give us directions in a way that we're not going to get elsewhere, because each person's body is different. The metabolism is different. And what I have seen also is that people are given directions that, as I see it, helps change the set point to use calories in a way that helps the body to lose weight. So, Richard, can you think of another situation where a person had received information from the body that was different in your mind?
Well, the area that starts to come to mind is some of the work that you know, we've done in working with our dark friends. I know not many of your audience are aware of the journey that you have walked with the dark, because it's not something you talk about. But what's come forth is that the body is quite capable of clearing dark energies and other things that the dark might use to interfere with the body. It has capabilities to deal with these sorts of things. Other examples have been, we found that the body is actually quite capable of clearing toxins, and if you ask it, it will give you a schedule, a basis upon which you can undertake that. It might need to do it over 2 or 3 sessions, which are spaced apart by 2 days or 3 days, depending on the circumstances, but it has the ability to effectively self-correct from toxins, and also parasites and so on. It's quite capable of clearing those also. So these things were quite fascinating to me as they came forth in our work, and I suspect there are a few surprises left for us.
And it's simply a case of commanding the body to learn how to go within and communicate with the body and give it suggestions and receive the body's directions. And whenever I think about this, I think of Yeshua's, you might say, command or information about going within and what is available by going within and what going within means. It's a form of meditation. And that brings up another subject, Richard, that has fascinated me, is meditation in general. We're finding that many people are taught what I would consider guided meditation instead of really being taught how to go within and communicate. Did you care to comment on that?
Yes. It's very interesting. I think one of the things that's come into the traditions of meditation, I guess, is the notion that we should, as we meditate, still the mind. And I would have to say that if stilling the mind is the measure of successful meditation, then I would be an abject failure, because I can't say that I've ever really stilled my mind. And what's interesting is that I've come to understand that really the notion of stilling the mind is really not what meditation is about. That suggests some kind of passive process where then something will turn up and, you know, greet you. Whereas what I've experienced and come to understand is that meditation, if you're using it to serve you, indeed is a very active process. And, you know, there are examples I can give. I mean, in a sense, I would say that in hindsight I realize that on a level I've been communicating with my body for a long time, because one of the things I've experienced in meditation has been, over time, the energy flows in my body. And so I would, sometimes they would last for, you know, 15, 20 minutes and be gone. Other times they would go on for hours, and I really didn't understand what they were about exactly. Sometimes with time I came to understand them, and would, you know, came to realize that I was undertaking some kind of clearing work. These days, because I am now able to more readily, you could say, communicate with beings on the other side of this veiled consciousness that surrounds the earth, I can ask what these energies are about and get answers to that. And so, you know, that's an example of an active process within meditation. Another would be what we've just been talking about here, which is actually communicating with the body and understanding what it needs. You know, and also it can be practicing some of the skills that, for example, we teach in terms of communicating with the body, communicating with your higher self, communicating with beings on the other side of the veil. All of those things are active processes which, as far as I'm concerned, fit inside that envelope of meditation. So, yeah, I think you and I, Callan, have both come to the view that that meditation is not this process that so many are taught. And we come across so many people who have started out with meditation and have endeavored to go down this path of stilling the mind and found they were as successful as I was, which was not at all, and gave up. You know, I just think I'm a bit thick-headed and kept at it for longer. to find that it really wasn't about that at all.
Well, folks, if you want to share some of your experiences with communicating with your physical body or questions about meditation in general, give us a call. We have a toll-free number here at BBS, And we're on station one, and that number is 9-888-815-0756. And that is good for calls here to the U.S. and to Canada. We have had, Richard, I would like for you to discuss a little bit of our website, our 2012 website, and a little bit of the information that people can get there with regards to energies coming in. And we recently have had some new energies. Well, it seems like every month there are tremendous new changes by way of energy coming in, and especially the equinox. And since you have just put that one up on the website, perhaps you can chat about that a little bit?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. And perhaps it's worthwhile putting that in a little context. For those of you who are not familiar with our 2012 website, which is called the2012countdown.com, we have on there a lot of information from a lot of sources, which are discussing various aspects of what's involved with that event at the December solstice of 2012. And I guess the page on that website, which is changing most rapidly, is the 2012 timeline page. And that's the page which is tracking all of these energetic events, I suppose you could describe them as, that Carolyn just referred to. And for those of you who are not aware, the ancients really understood that things like the solstices and equinoxes, eclipses, full moons, numerically significant dates, all of these things represented energetic gateways that were actually used to send energies forth to the planet. And the nature of those energies was to some extent determined by the astrological patterns which were in place. So, you know, that certainly played a part, and it is why astrology indeed has, some lessons for us to learn and some messages that we can understand. And so what we've seen really in the last couple of years in particular is a ramping up of the energies that are being sent forth through those various gateways. And as we've come to each gateway, typically it's been Yeshua and Mother Mary that have come forth to share with Carolyn and I what it is that is coming forth through that particular gateway in terms of energies, what it has meant in terms of preparation and so on. And those energies really began to ramp up during 2009, and that ramp up has continued into 2010. And so Carolyn and I took the messages yesterday from Yeshua and Mother Mary in relation to this gateway, and I guess the essence of that message from Yeshua in particular, apart from emphasizing that the March equinox is a wonderful time to undertake some visualization work and so on to look to manifest in your life what you would really like to see, because the energies of the equinox support that process. But also, in terms of preparation for 2012, the really interesting message that he shared was that it's like a conveyor belt is being engaged from this moment forward, you could say, carrying humanity forth through that solstice of 2012 through to the ascension moment, which will occur at the March equinox of 2013. And so that's a very interesting message to be given. He's talking about a lot of change which will begin to become visible in the world. He's talking about the emergence of physical rejuvenation of rejuvenation of the physical body, and a whole range of other things. The coming forth of information which has been hidden, the exposure of so much of the manipulation that has gone on this planet by the dark in various guises, both within what one might call religions, within government, within business, and many other ways that you could say life or consciousness or the way we live has been manipulated by the beings of the dark. And so it was quite a fascinating message to me in terms of what Yeshua had to say about that. And so, you know, these messages come forth each month. This month, we've had the message in relation to the equinox, and then, of course, we have the full moon towards the end of the month, which is interesting in the sense that for those countries that are in the early part of the time zone, if you will, countries like New Zealand and my home country, Australia, and so on, it in fact will be a blue moon this month. Not so much in, for example, Europe and so on, where the time zone is a little later, because the last full moon was on the 28th in the US and Europe, but it was actually on the 1st of March in those countries that are sort of earliest in the time zones, if you will. So it's kind of interesting, and I anticipate there'll be something coming forth from Yeshua about that also, and from Mother Mary as we get closer to that time. So these messages are really quite, I think, quite extraordinary as they come forth.
For people who are interested in signing up for those messages, Richard, how would they go about receiving these every month?
Sure. There is, at the bottom of every page on that website, there is a place where you can enter your name and email address, and that will then be registered with us, and you'll receive an email with a link in it just to opt in to receive those emails. And so you just put in your details and then respond to the email that gets sent to you, which I'm sure you're familiar with. You'll have done it many times for other reasons. And we will then send you updates on when these messages come forth. For example, I sent out an email to all of those people registered with us last night to alert them to the fact that these messages had come forth and we'd put them up on the website.
And Richard really does a beautiful job with this, because not only does he put up the actual channeling where you can hear Mother Mary and Yeshua being channeled by myself or Richard, but he also does a beautiful job with typing in the script, so you can also go back and follow that too.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Well, you do. You do a beautiful job. You work very hard on that. And people like that, listening and then reading what the message was said. Also, we're very excited about some what I think are just beautiful YouTube presentations. And, Richard, how could people connect with what we've put up with YouTube?
That's a good question. Just give me a second. I'll give you the address for what that is. Yes, speaking of messages coming forth through the various gateways and so on, the first YouTube message we put out was around Mother Mary's message for the last full moon, which was just a beautiful message, and we were prompted to share it in that way. And she subsequently came forth and gave us a message about karmic clearing, which is one of the things that's required in preparation for the energies that are coming forth at the end of 2012. And so the easiest way to access those is to go to www.youtube.com/user/Richard Presser. So those things have been put up under my name. So it's just Richard and then Presser. So that's youtube.com/user/Richard Presser. And you'll see the the YouTube videos that we've put up there, and I anticipate we'll be adding to those as we go forth. So if you're interested in this work, you may want to, when you go to that page, subscribe on that page, and then you'll get notified when those, when we add further YouTube messages to that list.
Yes, and I find these YouTube pieces, the three that we've put up so far, we've received a great deal of information about that, how people really have enjoyed it. I'd also like to spend a little bit of time talking about karmic clearing, because I'm not sure many people really understand what this is. Again, our toll-free number here is 888-815-9756. And in our past lifetimes, that information from our past lifetimes is not really in the third dimension. It resides in what we call the now, where past, present, and future is all in one place. You might say in one available moment. And I never did understand that, because I thought that meant literally that past, present, and future are all moving at the same time, and I never could understand it. But what it actually means is that you have access to the past, present, and future in the now. And that does make a difference. So in the three-dimensional world, we have time. We understand it as one moment following another, a sequence. But when you're in the now, you can enter in any one of these, you might say, segments, past, present, and future, and that's where our past lifetimes reside. It is also where emotions from our past lifetimes reside, so that if a person died a very tragic death, all of those emotions that surround that death is there in that lifetime. Well, it has a connection to the physical body, and here's how it works. Our etheric body, that energy band around the body, some people call it the etheric, some call it the subtle bodies, the light body, that's not made up of dense particles in the third dimension either. It is in the now. It is outside of the third dimension. And so that also is in the same energy band, for lack of a better word of describing it, as our past lifetimes. And the trauma from past lifetimes has access to the subtle body, that energy body of emotions that's right next to the physical body. And we hold the opinion that discomfort and disease comes from past trauma in past lifetimes, because it is meant for humanity to clear this. And the reason that we have to clear it is because when we die, like we've died in the past, our body goes through the death process. The soul goes to a higher energy level, the high astral plane. And it is a law that we can't go to a higher dimension taking negativity from a lower dimension. And it is why we're ascending in the near future. We have to eliminate this negative trauma from the past. And so the soul, in a sense, is prompting the body to clear this. And if we ignore subtle messages as such, the body doesn't know how else to communicate with us other than pain, discomfort, dis-ease. And when we get as advanced as a disease, that really gets our attention, except we don't always go to the past lifetimes to heal it. And we are finding that, amazingly, things that you never dreamed of that crop up into the physical body can be cleared by going to a past lifetime and clearing those emotions. And so I wanted to mention that because this is what the masters on the other side are telling us that needs to be cleared before we can actually get ready for ascension. So, Richard, did you have anything to add to that?
Yes, it's interesting how this is unfolding. It's a requirement, as you know, Carolyn, to for all souls that are transitioning from one level of consciousness to the next higher level to, you could say, establish a level of perfection on the level of consciousness before that soul can move on. And so what's happening here on Earth is really no different from what happens elsewhere. It's a, you could say, a cosmic law. And the difference in this circumstance, as you're saying, is that it's been very difficult to clear these experiences from past lives. It's been such a difficult journey on this planet because we have been intermingled with the beings of the dark that have created such difficulty on this beautiful planet of ours. And so there is that need to clear that past karma. And also another aspect of that perfection, if you will, is to rejuvenate the physical body. And not just to make it younger, but indeed to perfect that state of the body. So, you know, if you've got a few years under your belt, as I do, then when you rejuvenate, not only will you return to, you know, a much younger physical form, but indeed there will be a level of perfection in that physical form that you didn't have necessarily when you were younger. I mean, in my case, for example, I, as a young child, struggled to walk for a bunch of reasons and you know, had a number of, you could say, health difficulties which impacted my ability to, you know, develop sporting skills and so on and so forth. And, you know, those limitations in my physical body, if you will simply be washed away by this process. To take an even more powerful example, there are people that are born, for example, that are completely deaf because they're actually missing elements of the ear that prevent the hearing process to actually function. If they choose the path to ascension and do this work, then those missing parts of the, you know, the physical missing parts of the ear will actually be put into place. It is truly an extraordinary process which is about to begin to unfold on this beautiful planet of ours. It's part of that conveyor belt that Yeshua was talking about.
Yes, it is a most magnificent time. I would agree with you. Well, for those out there who are listening, give us a call. Tell us what you think about ascension. Tell us if you've had experiences where you have meditated and you have communicated with the body and you've received directions, for instance, as to how to become healthier, how to clear past life karma, changes in diet. All of these things would be of interest. Come and join us. Our phone number here is 888-815-9756. Something else that is interesting, I think, that we have connected to is which foods to combine with other foods. Foods that are, you might say, healthier. And information that we've received from Mother Mary, Richard, about food, can you recall what she said about eating raw food as opposed to cooked food?
Yes, what Mother Mary has said to us, and as Carolyn said, she's been speaking to us about this, and she has said that the human body was designed to live on raw foods, on a mixture of vegetables and fruit and nuts and some grains, and really was not designed as a body for consuming meats. And that doesn't mean to say that, you know, we can't eat meats, but certainly the natural balance of the body is to consume raw foods and to consume them, you know, from across the rainbow of colours, if you will, because those colours indicate various nutritional components. And so it's good to have that variety of colours. But she's emphasised that eating raw foods is really the way to go. Again, not, you know, there's not necessary to be slavish about it. And certainly if you're going to cook foods, to cook them as little as possible, if you will, in your cooking. In other words, to cook vegetables very lightly to minimize the amount of nutritional loss and so on. But the optimal nutrition really for the human body is in raw foods. And there are perceptions widely held that we need to be eating meat to get the protein that the body needs. And that's simply arrant nonsense, is what we've come to understand. There is more than adequate protein available to the body through a readily available mix of fruit and vegetables and nuts and grains and so on. Really gets the body's requirements are very well taken care of. The other thing that she did say is if you are eating, going to eat meats and so on, it's good to, you know, it's probably better to stay away from the heavier meats. You know, what I would say, fowl, chicken, things like that are much healthier for the body. But also to separate vegetables and so on from meat by 20 minutes or so is optimum for the body. The body gets a chance to process the vegetables and so on and then process the meat separately. 20 minutes doesn't sound like long, but in fact it's long enough. Now, in practice, that's not how we eat, and I'm not suggesting you should necessarily run out and necessarily change the way you live your life in that regard. However, it's worthwhile understanding those factors at work. We tend to eat our food kind of all mixed up together, and really that's not optimum for the body. The other element that's come forth from in working with Mother Mary on this is that something that I know Carolyn's been keen on for a long time is the role of fermented foods. That really does help the body. The fermentation process is very helpful. So they're probably some of the key things that I recall, Carolyn.
Well, you have such wonderful recall. And, you know, people might not be familiar with fermented foods. Kefir is one, of course. And I'm thinking of sauerkraut would be another. Yogurt. Can you think of some other fermented foods, Richard, that I might be missing?
Cheese is a fermented product. Dare I say it, wine?
Yeah, dare you say it. You know, that's something we don't think about, wine being a fermented food.
It's probably not, high on the nutritional scale in general terms, but in terms of fermented product, it is there.
And that would you enjoy.
Absolutely.
Outside of the 2012 countdown, we have some other sites of interest, too. Talk a little bit about IamYeshuaReturn.com.
Yes, that's a site that we put together, I lose track of time, maybe 18 months ago initially, at the request of Yeshua, when he, I guess not long after we became aware that an aspect of the monad, if you will, that represents, that Yeshua is part of, which is known as Marietta, that an aspect of Marietta would be coming forth on the 28th of December in 2012. And so, in many ways, that is what has been referred to, I guess, as the second coming, the return of Yeshua, more accurately, the return of an aspect of Marietta, which is what Yeshua is. And so, in response to that, Yeshua asked us to put together that site called I Am Yeshua Returned, which on there he had us put a particular photo, which a painting which was modified to some degree to enable it to hold the energies that he added to that site, and a number of people have commented on the experience of viewing that page. He also has had us put up there a page which has a range of photographs from photographs from that area where he conducted his ministry in the Middle East all those 2,000 years ago, and he had us put it up there because there are, you know, quite a lot of people who shared that lifetime with him, and he wanted to provide that as a mechanism to help people awaken. There's also a page on there which shares a vision that Carolyn had of the energies coming forth from Galactic Center at the time of the solstice, and it was in that message where we learnt about that aspect of Marietta coming forth on the 28th of December to assist in the preparation for ascension. And so that message is on that site, along with some images of crop circles, which are referred to in that message, that came forth a few months before Carolyn received that vision. So there is really quite some fascinating material on that site. It talks a little about the role of the DNA and so on. And there's a beautiful image that has been created of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene together, who were, of course, married and had three children. So it's a fascinating site. It also has a page on there which provides access to a series of lessons that Yeshua has begun to give Carolyn, that he, you could say, is providing to supplement the knowledge that came forth through the New Testament in particular, because in truth, most people don't realize that the reason Yeshua and Mary Magdalene came some 2,000 years ago was in fact to prepare for ascension. There was work that they needed to undertake at that time to ensure that things would be in place for the ascension event in 2013. And so that knowledge will be coming forth, and its aspects of that which have begun to come forth in those lessons that can be found on that site.
You did a beautiful job of discussing that, Richard. Something that I would like to mention and add to is those pictures that Yeshua suggested that we put on the website with regards to that area around Galilee. Is he dictated certain descriptions. And if you have a sense that perhaps you lived during that time of Yeshua 2,000 years ago, I suggest that you go to that page, IamYeshuaReturned.com, look at the pictures, and read some of the descriptions that Yeshua gave, because the point of it all is to trigger your memory. And I thought that was very fascinating, too, because we have had people comment how they have seen the pictures and read some of the descriptions, and really there was familiarity with it. It was the beginning of memory, which leads me to our Lord Metatron conference calls, Richard, because Well, not only that, but the conference calls with Mother Mary, they're working with people in such a way to help them remember their past lifetimes and their past abilities. And I'd like for you to mention where people can find more information about these conference calls, because they imagine picking up a phone and being able to hear channel material coming forth, well, like a phone call. They call my number and I give you the message that they want to impart.
It's pretty amazing what unfolds in those calls. I mean, a number of people that have been listening to your radio shows for a long time will have some understanding of your skills and abilities, Carolyn, but unless they have experienced those conference calls, they really don't have a true grasp of the capabilities that you possess, your ability to not only see these beings, to bring their words forth in your unique way, but also to bring forth the energies of these beings is truly extraordinary. And the work that is done in those conference calls is truly unique, truly unique. And the people that participate in them really, you know, the kind of feedback we get is truly amazing. And so what they are doing, as Carolyn says, is essentially helping us in various ways to undertake the preparation process as we approach the end of 2012. One of the key things, as Carolyn mentioned, that is happening at the moment cooperatively across the three calls, really, is to begin to trigger our memories. One of the things that we have all done in coming to Earth, particularly in this time since the fall in Atlantis some 13,000 years ago, has been the shearing off, you could say, the leaving behind our memories. We kind of turn up in this consciousness as babies with no recollection of who and what we are, and some of us manage to piece a little bit of that together, but by and large, very little. And so in this time, as we're approaching the end of 2012, the energies are coming forth to enable us to begin to reawaken our memories, because as we reawaken the memories of who and what we are, our past lives upon this planet, indeed going back to that moment when we actually came forth as souls from the hand of our Creator, what begins to emerge as we awaken to those memories is that our abilities begin to come forth. The skills and abilities that we possess begin to reawaken. We are all beings of great ability, which is huge. It's unimaginable from this current context. And so as we approach that time, the energies are supporting us beginning to awaken to who and what we are, to remember those past lives, to remember some of the skills that we mastered in those past lives. So as Carolyn said, that's one of the reasons that Yeshua put those images around Galilee, along with his carefully chosen words that he gave to Carolyn to put with those images. But in particular, the meditations that are coming forth from Mother Mary and Lord Metatron and Archangel Michael are supporting these processes of reawakening that memory. And when we go through the, you could say, that ascension process, which really begins with those energies at the solstice of December 2012, and then unfold through to the ascension process in March of 2013, we are going to be going through an extraordinary awakening. Few people are aware that before the fall in Atlantis, humanity had over 2,000 DNA strands. 2,000. It's hard to imagine. Here we are with two. And it's hard to imagine what abilities we might have had at that time. And, you know, not all of those strands were in the physical. They, if you like, they in part connected to the etheric. And so you can begin to see that the capabilities that we might have had would be extraordinarily different from what they are now. And what, and part of the process, which will be triggered by the birth of that aspect of Marietta at the end of December in 2012, will be the reawakening of that DNA, the so-called junk DNA or mitochondrial DNA that scientists can't quite understand its purpose, is really the physical expressions of those other strands of DNA. That's what they're about. And so all of that will be, you could say, reassembled, and it will be reawakened within humanity. It's quite an extraordinary notion to contemplate. Hard to grasp what it will mean.
Well, you've done an excellent job of describing all of this, Richard, and I just love it. Now, would you be kind enough to give the address in case people want to read some more information about the conference call?
Yes, the website is metatronminutes.com, and if you just bear with me, I'll give you a little bit more on the page name. There's a page on that website which is just called Join Conferences, and you'll see on there access to all of the three calls, Join Conference Calls it's called. So the website is metatronminutes.com, and if you go to that site, you'll see a page called Join Conference Calls, and you'll see there that you can subscribe to one or all of those three calls, and there are examples, recent examples of those calls up there, a couple of them from February and one from January. So they're all quite recent examples of the work that's being done on those calls.
And as Richard said, they truly are remarkable. Richard, we probably have about 3 minutes left, and I would like for you, I realize this isn't much time to talk about your e-book, but we just have to mention it before we go.
Yeah, I'd be happy to mention that that e-book. It's kind of interesting. It really emerged out of the ethers almost a couple of years ago now, called The Coming Golden Age and How to Prepare for It. And it was a few months after I began to, a few months after I connected with Carolyn's conference calls. And, you know, I just felt this prompting to produce this e-book. And for those of you who don't know my background, I have a PhD in engineering, and so have been trained in that very left-brained way, and have found myself walking a path that's kind of awoken the spiritual aspect of me to some degree. And so I realized there were lots of people who were in a similar place to me, had that sort of scientific background, and were wondering what all this kind of spiritual mumbo-jumbo was about. And so my ebook really acts as a bridge, I guess, for people who are coming from that scientific perspective and looking to understand what is going on in a spiritual sense, and indeed begin to understand that the two truly do have a powerful basis of connection.
And what is that website?
Yes, it's just called thecominggoldenage.com.
Well, Richard, I would like to thank you for your assistance today. You've been so enlightening in your usual wonderful way.
Thank you, Carolyn.
And so, my friends, next Saturday I will be on with Charlene, and next Sunday again. So we're looking at the message and the messenger until next week. This is Carolyn Evers.